came about that close to not coming today.
Glad you did, brother.
Yeah, amen. Heard what you said, Brother Charles. Believe me in every word of it. The Holy Ghost is real.
Amen.
We fail to see that, being born again, children of God, but yet we let things in this world hamper us from what the Bible says can be rejoicing and glorying in Him.
Amen.
All of you know the situation with my dad. Would have been very easy for me to stay behind today, to use that for an excuse. I had an excuse yesterday, I feel like, that's legitimate. I was on duty for the fire department yesterday and could not be here because of my work. But today, last night I had intentions praying for the meeting, thinking about your meeting here for not being here. You know, you can pray for the meeting and not be here. And we need to do that. We need to remember that our prayers are heard. The fervent prayers of righteous man availeth much. And they are heard. Sometimes we don't always see and understand, but I believe they're heard. But as I thought about this morning, coming this close, just saying, I just don't know whether I want to go tonight. This reason, that reason, it doesn't really make any difference. But I can tell you today, by what I've experienced in just a morning and afternoon service, that I have felt the presence of God. That's what we look for. That's what we're supposed to look for. Lord, help us. Brother Charles is right, and these other men are right, to not just let this lie down. Not let this just be a Sunday religion, or just for this weekend. But God, help us to have revival in our life each and every day, as the brother taught up here so with so much power and demonstration of the Spirit, Brother Ford. It begins with us.
Amen.
Lord, help us to be hearers of the Word and not only just doers of the Word, not just hearers of the Word.
Right.
I ask for your prayers. I covet your prayers greatly. I don't know how long I'll stand before you, but I'm going to give it a shot. So, pray for me. I'd like to start out in reading out of chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. And it says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled."
That's right.
If I'm not deceived, I heard testimony, not only from one man, but from all the brethren, that their heart has been filled. That does not come from the things of the world.
No.
The older that I do get, the more I see how much is vanity and vexation of spirit.
That's right.
That's why it's in there. To remind us, solemn to remind us, that had a man that had everything, all of the wisdom, all of the women, all of the gold, all the ornaments, everything that we would covet as being very dear to us in this world. But he said they're all vexation of spirit.
That's right.
Vanity and vexation of spirit. But yet we have something in us. The Spirit of God being born again from an incorruptible seed.
Yeah, that's right.
That shall not ever be corrupted. John, in 1 John, I believe he says, that this is the holy seed of God and it cannot sin. Do you understand that you have a piece of it? If you have been born again of the Spirit of God, you have God dwelling in you.
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And Jesus said in his very words, where he left, he said, "I'll not leave you comfortless." We have a comforter. And oh, that we should turn to him on every hand. Not just the big things in life. Not when you get news that your son has cancer. Not when you get news that something's wrong with your daddy. But every day of our lives.
Amen.
That's the revival I believe the brother's talking about.
Right.
You see, that's what's going to get you through the day.
Yeah.
And oh, how I long for that, because I'm not always as I should be. I've heard good men say that today. So I feel like I can say that also. Good men that I covet very greatly for their study and for their work's sake, that are not afraid to profess the name of Jesus. Lord, help me to be able to stand in the day and doing all to stand. Not denying Him. You know, Paul talked about in the writings to Timothy there, he said, if we deny Him, He will deny us.
Yep.
Now, you got to write and divide some something there.
Amen.
If you don't, you're going to be really confused. But the next statement out of his writings there, he said, but if we believe not, He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself.
Right.
That's what's been preached, what I heard in the short time that I've been here. Jesus and Him crucified.
Right.
Everything about the Son of God, which is exactly where it ought to be.
Amen.
That puts man right where he ought to be.
Yeah.
Now that's what's on my mind a little bit here. I know it's a big, big chapter. It's a big chapter where I'm fixing to go, and I'm just going to try to read through it. But this is what's on my mind here, starting with the third chapter of the book of Romans, and in the 19th verse. And then we're going to go back and we're going to get some of the first, but here's what's on my mind. Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. And here's what I want. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Did you hear what that said? Every mouth may be stopped. Why is that important? Paul covers that on over in the 9th chapter of Romans. He says, who art thou, O man, that replieth against God? Can the thing formed say to him that formed him, why did you do this? I believe we heard that today preached about how sometimes we question God. We do. But the answer is, who art thou, O man, that replies against God? Oh, these things, if God would let us see some things this night in His writing, and Lord help us to take them with us, not just hear them today and just be hearers of the Word, but do this Word. I'm seeing so much in among our church and among our people how that we have, may I say this in all love, how that we have failed to work out this salvation that's in us with meekness and fear.
You can say,
brother, it hits at home with every one of us. I'm talking to me first and then to you second. If this does not change something in our lives, then something's wrong with us.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Because there's been a change that has taken place. That old wicked and man that he says that was an enemy against God, he is reconciled unto the Father by the Son. And that's what he's dealing with here. I want to go back and get that. And he says in verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now we're going to back up here in the first part of the chapter to get this, to see if we can't get hold of the context of this. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? You see, the Bible, when we go over and we read about things, just like in the church at Corinth, they didn't know what to eat. They didn't know what to offer as a sacrifice. They didn't know what to do. That I've heard it preached all of my church life, that there's an example of a church right there that you can go to and you can see what's wrong with the things that they was doing in the church. Here he's touching on some of this. Circumcision. You deal with circumcision, I believe it is, in the next chapter. Believe it or not, I got to share something with you right quick, like, not to be funny. First attempt I ever made to try to preach at my home church was the 4th chapter of the book of Romans. Lord, help. What in the world was I thinking, Brother Paul? Circumcision and uncircumcision. You know what it all comes down to? He said it doesn't avail nothing. Whether you're circumcised or you're uncircumcised, whether you're a Jew or whether you're not a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, what is it about? It's about the chosen people of God.
Amen.
That's the plain and the simple of it.
Right.
You say, I'm like the brother today. I got to have it pretty simple. I'm talking about real simple life. I'm not as good as some of these brethren around here. Well-read, well-studied, and all that. Enough about that. But what I'm telling you about is none of us know the Lord except the Lord know you first.
Amen. Right.
We love Him because He first loved us. I love scriptures like that that continue to reassure and make me have confidence in the fact that if I have any knowledge of God, It's because he's loved me first.
Right. Come on, that's right.
He loved me first. Like Brother David says, me and him share a lot of things. He's in law enforcement, I'm in firefighting. That's why he kept pointing to me today. We share a lot of things in the job, but we also share a lot of things in the spirit.
Yeah.
I enjoy the brother. I'm not ashamed to tell you that spirit, when it wells up, it's when I can't cry sometimes, brothers and sisters, is when I get worried.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's when I can't fall down before God and tell Him I'm sorry for my sins.
Right.
Yeah.
And confess unto Him. But listen, brethren, true repentance is a turning.
Yes.
It is a turning away. It's not continuing to do the same things that we sin every day. Every day in some shape, form, or fashion we sin. A foolish thought is a sin before God.
Yeah, that's right.
But He would grant us repentance. You see, true repentance comes from God. Mm-hmm. It should not be repented of.
That's right.
That's what we should be after.
Amen.
Now, moving on here very swiftly here, because like I said, this is a large subject, but to make the simplicity of it, somebody says, what's important about circumcision? Uncircumcision. He deals with that in the Galatian letter where Paul does. I love that fact that when he's over there dealing with the church in Galatia, that he's telling them the same things, but he's just doing it a little bit different way. Some information over there that you gain about the subject that maybe Romans is not real clear about, you see, when you read it here. But there are some things here that stand out very much so to me. Listen to this. Verse 2, he said, much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. You heard today from somebody, forgive me, sometimes these sermons start running together, and I get a bit here and a bit there. But we heard today, what advantage is it was about the children of Israel, all the ites of the land. God was not concerned with them, as it was would be, because they were not His children. They were not the chosen.
Amen.
You see. And I'm going to tell you, if somebody's got a problem with that, it's not a problem with us, brethren. Sometimes we think it is because we want them to see what we see, don't we? Don't you, Brother Paul? We want to be like Paul when we say, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding.
Yeah, right.
We always end on the point that it's God who's the one that's working in us, both the will and the do. If it's not, then it's not going to come to any avail. It's not going to come to anything that's fruitful. He says here, much in every way because the oracles of God were delivered unto them. The oracles of God, the laws of God, were delivered to what people? The nation of Israel. Was not given to the Gentiles.
That's right.
Not by then.
Yeah.
That's part of what's been talked about today too, about being written in the heart. That touches again on this circumcision. You see, this old heart that we have, this old, what we consider, not our natural beating heart, you understand, but the center of man. Who you are in here. This feeling part of you, which I understand constitutes part of the soul, which we cannot separate ourselves, but God can. But this feeling that we have, God says, not to teach thy brother and thy neighbor, say, know the Lord, I shall know my people. And I shall be, they shall be the people to me, and I shall be a God to them. I love that. Somebody, they don't offend me not one bit. Say, you a hard shell Baptist? I said, yeah, I'm a hard shell Baptist too. Just as hard on the shells as all the rest of them. I've heard that and I think it's good. I'm going to use it. If it's somebody else's, it's not mine. But that's what preachers do. They pick up a little bit here and a little bit there. But are we not hard on the shells? The things, the shells, that he shall be called, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. Amen.
Yeah.
Did he do it or didn't he do it?
Yeah, he did.
You know, that's what preaching, I believe, by the Spirit, demonstration of the Spirit is. Not that a man gets loud in his voice or his whatever he does while he's standing up here, but it's anoints with your spirit when I speak the truth of God's Word, and it will have a lodging place within your heart, and you'll be able to take it with you.
Right.
Now then, what you do with it, once we take it with us, oh, that's totally on us, is it not?
Yeah.
Now, let's move on here. I'm going to give way to my boy over there. I failed to. I didn't want to get off into that much because that's just a bunch of flesh. But I'm as proud of him as nothing else I could ever talk about. You know? Him and Jonathan both. Now, Jonathan's in there too. He ain't no preacher, but he's right up there, you know, with my preacher son. Enough about that. But I love having the opportunity to be with him, you understand? I don't get to be with him. That's what David was talking about, not being at Mount Moriah. He said, you know, about the time that he thought they had it all worked out, then he's out preaching here, there, and everywhere. That's my own experience. I got everybody in the church at home there, and then the next thing I know, I'm not there no more. Out trying to preach the gospel. And then we all kind of, you know, just kind of spread out. Anyway, moving back to the word here. He said, for what if some did not believe? There are people that will tell us that you have got to believe in Jesus Christ. I got too many scriptures for you, brethren. I got a scripture over in the book of, in this book here, Romans, over here in about the 11th chapter, I believe it, he said, God has considered them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon them all. Now, over there, he's dealing with the Jews and the Gentiles there because he's talking about somebody that was grafted in unto a tree, unto the root, that is Jesus Christ. He said, if they bear not the root, then they're not of the tree. And the root is Jesus Christ, just in case for a long time. My preacher son over here helped me with that. I want you to know that. Now, I couldn't get the language down. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not, you understand? You know, so, but when the light is shined on it, brethren, what a joy it is to see the Word of God, and then it's manifest within us, and then we're able to take that treasure.
Amen.
You know, over there where he's talking about in the field there, that a man had a field, and he said it had a treasure in it. And this man, he said that he would buy, sell everything that he had to go find that treasure in that field. Are we willing to sell everything that we've got to find the treasure of God? That pearl that's in that field, whatever it might be, what belongs to God. God, listen, has already implanted this in us. Now, we have the gospel preached so that we can have the light shed upon the Word. We see that in the book. We see that in God's holy word over where he says that Jesus Christ has brought life and mortality to light through the gospel. You take that to light out of there, you've changed the whole context. I'm learning, Brother Paul. I'm learning how Brother Fuller tried to teach us that for years over there, and it's just now sinking in. How important it is to keep things in context with God's Word.
Yeah.
If you don't, you can make anything. You know, he used to talk about charging hell with a water pistol. You know, I completely lost me on that and never did get that out of me. You know, but he thought he knew what he was talking about, you know. But I get the point. Verse 4, for God, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. What did I read to you? That every mouth might be stopped. Now this comes from the conversations that we had at the preacher's meeting some when y'all were studying this, Brother Paul, is where this really stuck with me. I had read that. But it just really didn't sink in. The whole explanation about this, in a summary, as it would be, is that every mouth may be stopped. You see, all these things that we read about here, about is it of circumcision or is it not of circumcision? Is it of the law or do they not have a chance or this bunch has a chance or that and doesn't have a chance? It's one way. I heard that preached here this weekend and I love that. It's only one way of salvation. It's God's way, and it's by Jesus Christ and His blood shed upon Calvary's cross.
Amen, amen. Right.
That's the simplicity of what we understand tonight, and praise God that it's simple.
Amen.
It's not hard to be understood if God shines the light on it. If He don't shine the light on it, you'll never see it, though.
That's right.
And I tell you, I'm thankful. Even though we're small in numbers, I'm thankful that there's a people that still contends for the faith once delivered unto the saints. I believe that's what we're doing tonight here. I believe that's what you've done since Friday night. Now, moving on here, he says here, that every man is a liar. He said, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness condemn the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? Here we are asking again silly questions as it would be. Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. That's there in parentheses. God forbid. Oh, how strong is that language when we see that in the Bible.
Yeah.
God forbid. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my life unto His glory, why yet am I also judged a sinner? And not rather, as we, parentheses, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm, that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. You see, we're sinners by nature. We do those things by nature. You take a dog, you can. I've always heard it, we'll use a pig, you can clean a pig up, put lipstick on it, and as soon as you turn it loose, it's going to go right back to the mud water. It's going to do what its nature is.
That's right.
And without God changing the nature, that's what circumcision is to me. He said He will come into that heart. He will change that old hard and stony heart. And He will do a work on you that never has to. You don't have to be in that club, which I call is the club where you have the open heart surgery. Like Brother Darren and my dad and people like that have. That's kind of a club. And when they see that scar, you know they've been through that. God does not, He does not open the skin. He goes in the work, just as you're talking about, that sword that pierces that heart. He does it. And He does it. It's His will, and He does it when He gets ready to do it. That's the sovereign God of the Bible. That's the sovereign God that we try to preach as much as we can. As much as we can. Verse 9, He said, what then? Are we better than they? No, no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin.
Yeah.
And then it is written, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We like what Brother Lawrence says about that. How many is that? It's not even one. No, not one. How hard, like Brother Sonny Piles is, what don't you get about that? No, not one. No, none. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we've heard about Brother Paul highlight that verse in the Bible, worms of the dust. Do you like being called a worm of the dust? Not really. We don't like being looked at that, do we? But according to Paul in the Galatians letter, he said we were enemies of God. Until Jesus Christ reconciled us upon the cross. That I can't get all the scripture there if you turn to it, but don't want to. All I want to get out of that is that you know that we were enemies towards God before God comes into your heart. Every child is a dead. You understand what dead, alien, sinner means? Dead man can't do nothing. Ye who were dead and trespassing in sin hath he quickened, made alive. I'd like to see where the preacher's got a part in that. Other than telling you about it. Man don't have a part in that. I love that about that. I had that thought several years ago, Brother Kevin, about that. If man could put his hand to the tree of life and live forever, that's what he'd do. Really, when we're looking at, when we listen to the religious world today, they're telling you, you've got to do something. Really, I mean, not to be cruel and hard, but to preach it as the truth's sake. Man would put his hand to that tree if he could. You've done a wonderful job preaching that by the glory of God. Glory to God. That's because of this nature. We want to be, and I'm going to tell you something else, I believe. I believe when we stand in the presence of God, we're going to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And you know what that means? That means that God is still God and He is always going to be exalted above us always.
Amen.
That's why it works. Because He changes not. He is God. He changes not. And we're going to have everything that Jesus has.
Right.
We read about the thing, oh, but what Jesus got that we didn't get. That's what Brother Ricky calls mercy. Yeah, so what he said, his old grandmother one time, they sat around talking about it, and he said, what's the difference between grace and mercy? He said, grace is something that you get that you don't deserve. Let me get this right here. And he said, but mercy is something that you get that you don't deserve. Grace is something you get that's the love of God, but he said mercy is something that you get that you don't deserve.
Right.
He said they talked about the preacher's head two or three times. I didn't get the exact right there, but you understand my point, don't you? Mercy, the grace and the mercy of God. Grace is the unmerited love of God towards those that He loved in this covenant of grace that you hear continually talk about that was before the foundation of the world. This was a covenant that you could not get into.
Right.
Man had no part of that. You can't get into that. But thanks God that we're being embraced in that, by that covenant. And then He sends the Holy Spirit in there, and then He sends the preacher out to just tell us about that. That's what I believe, Brother Paul. Is that right? That's what you believe? Now, he says here, I just like to know that I'm of brethren of like faith and order. Because that's not always the case. It's not always the case. But how good it is for us to dwell in unity. How sweet that is. Listen, some of us in here have experienced some things over the years that have not been sweet. But oh, how sweet it is to dwell among brethren of like faith and order. I've heard that many times, and it's not just really sunk in. But boy, when it sets in, and you feel the peace, and you feel the love, and you know that the folks out there is praying for you, that you have asked them to pray for you, and that they earnestly are praying for you, and that's the only reason you can stand before God's people. Do y'all realize that tonight that none of these men that's come before you this weekend could stand up here and do this without the grace of God to preach?
That's right.
I'm serious. We need to have a reality check, as it would be. I love that Brother Ford. That's the first time I ever met him. But then to feel that kinship in Christ, you see, to know what he stands for, and to know that it's right out of the Word of God, and that I can have that too if I just lay hold to it. We can do it. We can do it. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, and then back to where we started, that every mouth may be stopped. You didn't hear nothing else I've said tonight? Understand this. Who art thou, O man, that replies against God? Don't believe it? Go read Job. Job, gird up thy loins and answer me. Ooh! You know, I think about, as I close, I think about the times that I have been so conceited. That's because that's the way I see it now. At the times that I did it, I did not see it that way. But when I laid on my beds of affliction, what I thought was affliction, and woe is David, and I was thinking, Lord, just talk to me, how arrogant is that? How arrogant is that? Because God can. But once I was counseled in a very spiritual way, enough be said about that, I'm not going off in that, to understand, he said, what is your greatest fear, David? I said that Satan would get me. See, I knew enough about that. My problem was I didn't know enough about the Word of God. And he said something that I'm going to share with you tonight that's very private with me, but I'm going to give it to you tonight. Some of you may have heard it. I may have told it to you before, but I don't tell this often. When he told me, I said that Satan may get me. He said he's already got you. Reality check. If you don't think that won't make you sit up and pay attention, especially when you think you're hurting, it will. It did me. I can't speak for you. But when I understood that God chooses to speak to us through this right here, don't be deceived, church, that God, because he's nothing impossible with God, can speak to you in an audible voice just like the preacher. But he does not choose to do that this way at this time. He said, in sundry times and in divers manner, God spoke to his people by the prophets. But he now speaks to us by Jesus Christ. Well, I've never seen Jesus. How's that work? My favorite scripture. One of my favorite scriptures. And I yield to you, son. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. But when that brother preached that "but," I almost jumped up out of my seat over it because I understand that word. But power and love and of a sound mind. That was the first scripture that spoke to me. Being in the church a long time. Being a member, good, outstanding member of the church. But just being there and showing up, you really just don't get it. And I don't want to cast stones too far because believe you me, brother, I'm the least of you. And so therefore, if I feel to be the least among you, maybe that'd be the best place for me. Because he said, he that is the greatest will not be exalted, but he that is the least. Thank you for your good attention. Lord God, thank you for giving me something to say. Brother Paul come up to me. He scared me to death all day long. The first time I tried to get back there in the back and hide, and I couldn't hide. And then he'd come by and he called on for prayer, and I thought, well, that's all that'd be. And then next time, open the service, and then now trying to preach tonight. I don't mean to be humorous, but I'm like Brother Paul. I think it's okay to be lied. You know what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be a reverend, because I know. Brother Patrick told me a long time ago, he said, the times that he's heard me, that he thought the Lord was with me, he said, brother, don't ever forget who put you on the ground.
Amen.
And he said, don't ever forget who set you down, too.
That's right. Amen.
So God bless you is my prayer. Lord, help each and every one of us to be the church, the ground and the pillar of the truth. We need it. We need it so bad. We need it every day of our life to not forget these things, but be good hearers and doers of the word. Thank you.
Amen.